Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And my friend, whether you're here, you're old or you're young, I just want you to know you will never get away with sin.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, Living Too Close to the Edge. This message is part of Pastor Grant's series, taken from the life of Abraham, in which the primary character is Abraham's nephew, Lot. Lot started out on the journey of faith with Uncle Abraham, a journey filled with promise. Yet, because of his consistently bad decisions, deciding to live life on the edge, Lot wound up in total ruin. Pastor Grant told us about that in the earlier part of the message as he detailed for us from the Genesis account the progression of backsliding. But as Pastor Grant concludes his message this week, we will find the story of Lot is not without hope. There is always deliverance for the repentant sinner. Let's listen now as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message, Living Too Close to the Edge. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Do you know that there are people here who God has spoken to them in their heart that they're on a dangerous path and they have done nothing? There are people here who God is warning you and is trying to push you from where you are. And you're saying, God, I don't want to go too far from Sodom. I don't want to go too far from the world. I like the world. Oh, I pray that this morning we would be in prayer for our friends who the devil has grabbed a hold of. James chapter 4, verse number 4. Here's what it tells us, and I'm going to put it on the board for you. It says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship, what? What does friendship with the world mean according to that verse? Enmity, does it say it? Is that what it says? It means enmity against God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. It is a dangerous thing to fall in love with the world. Falling, but listen, you're still with me? If you're with me, say amen. If you're here this morning and the devil is trying to get you to shut down, don't shut down yet. God wants to bring you back. Falling in love with the world happens slowly. I've told you this story before. I love this illustration. I sometimes have asked you before, what is the best way to cook a frog? And I said to you that when you are going to cook a frog, when my wife is going to cook a frog, she hasn't cooked any just yet. I'm still waiting for my frog legs. But when you're going to cook a frog, you don't take that live frog. I'm talking about a live frog. You don't take him and throw him in a bucket of hot boiling water. Because if you do, what is he going to do? He's going to jump right out. So you take him and you put him in some nice water, the same temperature he was in when he was in the mud. Nice temperature water. You put him in. Guess what? He's just loving it. It feels so good. And then what you do, you turn it up very gently. You see, if you turn it up gently, he doesn't even realize that it's getting hotter. Are you with me? And after a while, it's getting warmer and warmer. And the poor little frog, he doesn't even realize things are changing around him. You say, Brother Brian, have you experimented with it? No. But I'm using my sanctified imagination. And all I'm doing, I'm trying to explain what happens to us as Christians. Because what happens, you decide to flirt with the world. You decide to live close to the edge. You jump in and you don't even realize what is going on. And after a while, you know, it's like somebody, you've been out to the ocean and you're floating. Sometimes I'm floating on my back. And then when I finally decide to jump up, I am so far from where I thought I was. That is not funny. And that's what happens. You are so far from the center of God's will. You're so far from the place of blessing. And you wonder what's happening. Listen, you are falling in love with the world. And it happens very slowly. And God is talking to some of you this morning. And he said, today is your day. Today is your day to get away from the edge. But second, Lot not only showed a growing love for the world, he showed an increasing tolerance for sin. We're going to put on the board for you on the screen 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, it says, yes, Lot was a righteous man. Stop. Does that shock? Is that shocking? He was a righteous man. He was a believer. Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. The wickedness bothered Lot, but he stayed because he had learned to tolerate sin. Some Christians have learned to tolerate sin. I've heard Christians say, I can always sin and ask God to. Oh, you've heard it. I can always sin and ask God to forgive me. We have a growing tolerance for sin. But let's never think we can sin and get away with it. And that's one of the messages that I want you to grasp this morning. We cannot sin and get away with it. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And my friend, whether you're here, you're old or you're young, I just want you to know you will never get away with sin. You might be here and you're not saved. I want you to know you will never get away with sin, because sin is going to be judged. And the person who has never come to Calvary, to Jesus Christ, and asked him to cleanse them of their sin. If you have never come and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart and cleanse me. You will die and go to hell. Oh, people don't want to talk about hell anymore, but it's still in the book. And so we will always still preach it. You will die and go to hell if you have never trusted Jesus as Savior. But listen, you might be a Christian. And so because you're a Christian, you're figuring, no. God will never be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. Whatever man sows, that will he also reap. Amen. But third, and by the way, even before I move on, write this verse down. Psalm 19, verse number 13. The Bible says, here's David said, he prays to God. He says, God, please keep your servant from deliberate sin. Psalm 19, 13. Please keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. My friend, if you're here and you're one of those who will say, I can sin and ask God's forgiveness, would to God that you'll start praying this prayer. God, please keep me from deliberate sin. God, help me not to have that mindset that I can sin and ask you for forgiveness. God, please keep me from deliberate sin. God, don't let this control me. God, I want to do your will. God, I want to follow you. God, I want to please you. But third, Lot showed an insufficient emphasis on worship. Lot was a believer, but we never read about him worshiping God. Isn't that interesting? As you study the book of Genesis, over and over again, you see Abraham setting up altars. And Lot saw Abraham setting up altars, but you never ever read where Lot set up any. Worshiping God just wasn't that important to Lot. How important is worship to you? If you're the type of person who can take it or leave it. Oh, I know I'm meddling. You say you're meddling now, Pastor. If you're the type of Christian who can show up when it's convenient. Somebody said to me in the last few weeks, somebody said, Brother Brian, I wish we would just start a Saturday night service. Because you said, if we start a Saturday night service, I could sleep the whole day Sunday. So I said, you know, Sunday is actually the. I was trying to get her to fill in the blank. She was having a hard time figuring it out. So I fill it in for her. I said, Sunday is actually the Lord's Day. Oh, you didn't know that? It's the Lord's Day. Somehow in our in our context in 2016, somehow we forgot it's the Lord's Day. And I'm here to ask you, is worship important to you? Or are you that person who can take it or leave it? You show up when you feel like,
oh, it better not be cloudy. I don't even need rain, just a cloud.
And the temperature had better just be right. I'm here to suggest to you, my friend, if you find you're one of those who there's that not that much emphasis on worship, you might be slipping away. You might be slipping away. When worship is only something I do, when it's convenient, how can I offer to God that which has cost me little?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Worship ought to cost. Did you know that? It ought to require sacrifice. Look at the Old Testament. You can't walk away with, listen, they had to get a sacrifice to bring to worship. It should cost. And I challenge you today, the Word of God challenges you today. Don't ever settle when worship is only at your convenience.
But the fourth thing I noticed about Lot, Lot showed disregard for God's warnings. In Genesis 14, Sodom was defeated by five kings. Lot was captured and all his prized possessions seized. And those of you who know the story, you know that by God's mercy, Abram was able to rescue him. In fact, for the benefit of those who don't know the story, let's turn to Genesis chapter 14, verse number 14. Genesis 14, 14. Now when Abraham heard that his brother was staying captive, he armed, doesn't mean his brother literally, his brother, his brethren, his family member, this is his nephew. When Abraham heard that Lot was taken captive, he armed 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Listen, this is a God moment. Abraham is fighting five kings and their armies. Are you with me? Five kings, and how much is he going with? 318 soldiers, right? So not no soldiers, 318 servants. This is a God thing. So he goes against them, and listen, verse 15, he divided his forces of 318, against them by night. He and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. 318 against all these people, and they were rescued by the hand of Almighty God. God was giving Lot a second chance. But Lot did nothing. Lot went right back to Sodom. He's in Sodom. He's captured in Sodom. God miraculously rescues him, warning him. And Lot goes right back to Sodom. Lot had a disregard for God's warnings. And I'm praying this morning that some of you, because this message is for you, God is warning somebody here this morning. He's saying to you, the reason why you're here, the reason why you're listening to this message is because I am trying to get your attention. This is your warning. It is time for a change. Finally, the effects of backsliding. Lot wouldn't leave Sodom. So God tore him out of Sodom. The results were tragic. He lost his impact for God. The Bible says that Sodom was very wicked. And in Genesis 18, the Lord told Abraham he was going to destroy it. So Abraham pleaded with the Lord. Some of you know the story. Those who don't, you can go back and read chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. Abraham pleaded with the Lord. And Abraham says to God, because of course Abraham knows Lot is still there. Abraham, no. Oh, I wish that to the Lord that those of us who have children and family members who are astray, you will not give up, that you will have the heart of Abraham. Abraham rescued him, and Abraham didn't take the attitude, man, look, I've done all I can, and he's gone back there. No, Lot, Abraham is still concerned about Lot, and Abraham says, oh God, if there were 50 people that are righteous, wouldn't you spare the whole city? God says, I would. Abraham says, 45, 40, the number keeps going down, 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 until finally it's 20. And God says, I will spare the entire city if there are 20 righteous people. Abraham says, well, let me give it one last shot. You can imagine poor little Abraham, he's trembling because he knows this is really unreasonable. And he says to God, God, if there are 10 righteous people in this whole city, will you spare the whole city for 10? God says, yes, I would spare it for 10. Abraham says, Abraham is figuring, well, 10, Lot, he's adding on his fingers. This is my sanctified imagination again. Lot, Abraham says, well, there's Lot and his wife. I can count on them too. His daughters, 2 daughters, 2 sons-in-law, I can count on those. He says, and he's imagining. Abraham is saying, Lot has been there 25 years. I am sure he has won 4 more people. Here's the problem. Unknown to Abraham, Lot hadn't even won his family. Did you notice that? Lot hadn't even won his family. Have you won your family to the Lord? Do you spend time praying for your family and teaching them God's word? Do you make the effort to bring the kids to Sunday school and to other places where they can hear God's word? Are you doing every single thing you can to win your family to the Lord? What a shame it would be if you got to heaven and your kids missed it. No, you can't save anybody, but you know the part that would be tragic? If your kids missed it, and you never, ever shared the gospel with them. You didn't do what you could. Listen, you can't save a soul. But let's make sure that the reason they missed it is not because I never tried. Finally, Lot lost his family and possessions. Lot lost everything. His 2 sons-in-law perished in Sodom because they thought, Lot looks like a joker to us. God destroying anything. And somebody here this morning, and you're like, you're talking about hell. Come on, give us a break. Hell, destruction, judgment. These 2 sons-in-law, they're like, come on. Destroying Sodom, that ain't happening. So they got destroyed. Then his wife, she is so in love with Sodom, she was almost saved. You don't hear people sometimes say, he almost saved, such and such a person is almost saved. But you know, to be almost saved is totally lost. She was almost saved. She was almost, and that was where she ended up. She turned a pill of salt. Some of you here are almost saved. You've heard the gospel. You've heard that you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for your sin. Some of you have said, you know, I need to respond. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to come to Christ. But you haven't done it. You're almost saved. Almost saved means nothing. Today, you can say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me today. But then, as we come to the end of chapter 19, what a mess. Boy, I tell you, God don't hide anything. What a mess. Lot's 2 girls, they said to themselves, there's not a lot of men up here, so you know what we're going to do? Let's get daddy drunk, drunk, drunk. And when he drunk, we're going to go into bed and we're going to seduce him. Can you? What a mess. So incest. Lot now has children with his 2 daughters. What a mess. What a mess. 25 years earlier, Lot entered the promised land with Abraham. 25 years earlier, he entered the promised land with Abraham. The promises of God, everything was in front of him. But here he is. What a mess. All because he decided to stay close to the edge. And some of you, if you don't move, the promise ahead, God says, I have a plan for you. God has such a wonderful plan, and some of you are going to wreck it because you say, I am going to stay close to the edge.
Prodigal boy, in Luke 15, the prodigal son, he decided to live close to the edge. He went much further than he ever intended. One day, he woke up, found he was fighting with the pigs for the food. A Jewish boy in the pig pen, eating the pig's food. And Jews don't like to have anything to do with pigs. This boy, the Bible says, he came to himself. Oh, I pray you'll come to yourself. He said, I'm going to go home. And I'm going to say to my daddy, Daddy, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I have sinned. Daddy, I'm no more worthy to be your son. Make me a servant. Make me one of your hired servants. So this boy, he got up. He had come to himself. He had decided enough of this edge living. He comes to his father. The Bible says he had his speech all prepared. And as he was coming home, his daddy saw him. And his daddy ran and greeted him. And the boy said, Dad, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. What humility, what contriteness, what repentance. Father, I have sinned. I'm not worthy to be your son. Some of the stuff I've done, God has disappointed you. You didn't expect this of your son. I have sinned. I've messed up. The father stopped him. The father never allowed him to say, make me as one of your hired servants. No, all the father needed to hear was his repentance and his confession. And the Bible says the father hugged him and kissed him and dressed him with the best robe and put on him the ring. And he killed the fatted calf. And he said, let's eat, let's drink and be merry. For this my son was dead. He was lost and he is found. Hallelujah. And I am here to tell you today that God is anxious for you to come home. No matter what who you are, no matter what you have done, it could be you've never trusted Jesus as Savior. He's anxious for you to come home. Oh, you might be a Christian and you've been living close to the edge. He's waiting for you to come on home. There's going to be a party in heaven tonight. Because you will say yes to Jesus.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.